listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Oh, ayo, Bo knows this, what? And Bo knows that, what? But Bo don't know Jack because Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? Did it all just first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred. No time for move faking.
Got to get to loose so I can bring home the bacon. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast with your host, Hodor. No, I'm just kidding. With your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house on a Monday. A very special Monday, man. This is the start of a very controversial week for the Black Guy Tips, man. This is, feel like we at the nexus of all the blurred rivalries. We at the nexus of all the controversy. I know, man. You tweeted me that day like, hey, man, can't wait to do the show. I was like, here we go. but you know, it's like Black Twitter is all colliding, man, right now. It's a civil war on Black Twitter right now, man. And we feel like we need to reach out to get some blurred influence on this, man. Because he's been on the show before. I feel like you should be very familiar with his voice. Cause he also has the hit podcast, critically acclaimed Fan Bros show that he co-hosts with, Tati the Grand Duchess. Let me just put it that way. Yeah. The Grand Duchess of Tech and, Chico Leo from time to time. It's my man, DJ Ben Amin. What's going on, dog?
Oh, chilling, man. How y'all? I'm happy to be here, man. I'm good. You know, super ecstatic, in fact, to even be here right now. Thank y'all for having me. All that good stuff, you know?
Yeah, Rodimus, dog.
And, say that again. How y'all doing?
We happy to have you on here, man. We trying to do this experiment where Black people get along all week long. it's pretty controversial, dogs. I never seen this happen before. So
you haven't? How long have you known Black people for?
I'm gonna try to be the first, dog. I'm gonna make it work. First of all, man, the reason Ben's here, other than us just being a cool ass podcast, is right now you got a Kickstarter going for the kids, man. What's going on with the Kickstarter?
I have a book. Man, thank you. I have a children's book, The World Is Yours. It was written by me and illustrated by one of my brothers from Howard University, Marcus Allen. And it's The World Is Yours, and it's an illustrated children's book about teaching children to be the best they can be and to live their life to the fullest. So it's got, you know, illustrated pictures, and it's a rhyming book that has rhymes that are basically, you know, I like to compare it to Rudyard Kipling to, like, If for kids, or like, you know, Slick Rick, Hey Young World, you know, it's that type of thing where it's just, you know, giving a universal message to children, but especially, you know, as you can see, to children of color, because, you know, children's books aren't really dedicated to children of color. So we wanted to make sure that we had a book for children of color, and that tells them to be all they can be and live their life to the fullest. So The World Is Yours. And, you know, you can check out the Kickstarter. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere, DJ Ben Hameen. And all the info is in my bios on all that stuff. And if you go to Kickstarter, it's The World Is Yours children's book on Kickstarter.
It'll also be in the show notes for everybody out there who, you know, listens to the show. You know, it'll be on your iTunes and however you listen to your podcasts in the show notes. Click on that, go there. Also, you know, if you watch this precast later, we got the Kickstarter video and everything in the chat. And we'll make sure to have it on the website and social media where we post it, man, because nothing more important than the kids. What gave you the idea to do this, man?
Oh, wow. All right. Well, the original idea came from, the poem itself came from, I guess I just had to tell the whole story. Longtime listeners and people who know me well know that for a minute I was incarcerated in Dubai. And while there, I didn't really know when I was going to come home or whatever. And so it was a very strange situation that I found myself in. And so while there, I wrote this poem that I wrote for my nephew and my nieces, trying to, you know, just give them tips on life. Because, like I said, I didn't know when I was going to see them again. They were all very young at the time. And I've always been a writer who wrote a lot constantly. So while there, I wrote and read, you know, way more than ever. And one of the things I wrote was this poem. So when I did come home, I posted the poem on Facebook, and my friend Marcus, who I went to Howard with, is a, you know, just a gifted, supremely talented artist, and he saw the poem and was like, yo, this would be great as a children's book. So I was like, why not, you know? And so we reworked it. He did the art, And boom, there we go. It was, you know, that was pretty much it. Yeah, I guess that's the whole origin story.
And it's been a while in the making then, right?
Oh, yeah, man. It's been a minute in the making. It definitely has been. We've been working on it for a long time. It, you know, just getting the images right. Like, even now, as we're running the Kickstarter, we're still working on the book. We're still, like, fine-tuning little things because we just want, you know, we really believe in it. Like, just as a long-term work of art, it's something that we really believe in, and we really just feel that it will affect the lives of children everywhere. So it's something that we really want to make sure is, like, our best work when we get it out. So it's ready to go, though. Like, you know, as you see, this is the demo, basically, right here, because yeah, the Kickstarter is for a 500 limited edition hardcover version. This is just a little soft cover demo we had to put together to see how it all looks.
Yeah, that joint looks real professional, dude.
It's beautiful. What is the age range for the children that you're targeting?
That's the thing. It varies because we feel it's a book that parents should read to their children at first, like when they're very young. And then as a child grows older, he can read it to himself and, you know, get more of the messages in it. Because, you know, at the very young ages, a child just is going to love the art, you know, and the art alone. That's something that's really amazing about it. You'll see when you get the finished copy, it's like the art alone, without even the page, I mean, without even the words, tells its own story.
Right.
So, like, a young child can just look at the art and, you know, get a story from that. And then once he gets the, you know, old enough to understand all the words, then he'll get a whole nother level to it. So the age range is, you know, from birth till death, really, we feel, because it's something that can affect not only children, but also adults, because everyone needs the words that are, you know, inside of it.
That's dope, man. And then also, like, what's going on with Fan Bros, man? How's everything going with the podcast and everything?
I mean, what isn't going on with Fan Bros? Like you said, you know, we found ourselves embroiled in the whole, you know, weekend warrior thing that went on this weekend. But man, everything is great with Fan Bros Show. You know, Fan Bros Show is the voice of the urban geek, the multicultural maestros. For those who don't know who listen to the show, it's me, Tatiana King Jones, and D Chico Leo, and we're the three main hosts of Fan Bros Show. And we've been doing Fan Bros Show for like 3 years now. We just had our third year going on.
Congratulations.
And
yep.
Yeah, thank you. And it's just been a lot of things. Like, we just had another live show that was sold out in Mokata with Marcus Prime. If you haven't seen his book, bruh, it's a great book. You know, Marcus Prime, really dope artist. We had a live show with him over at Mokata. And right now we've got a bunch of stuff coming up for the summer. We have at New York Comic Con is doing a Star Trek convention and Labor Day weekend at the Javits Center, and we'll be heavily involved in that, as well as New York Comic Con, Dragon Con. I know I'm forgetting something.
Nah, that's
a lot. We're over here working, man, you know.
Yeah, I'm that's really when you know it's the grind, dog. The grind, like, you don't always have time to look up and really picture everything and take that breath and be like, and like, appreciate where you are, because it's always like, all right, next project, next thing.
Yeah, it definitely is, man. I always tell people that, like, I mean, that's the word, shout out to Dallas Penn, that's what he always told me, is like, you know, the only reward for good work is more work.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah,
that shit is so true, bro. I feel like this weekend, Thursday we recapped Age of the Shield, right? Mm-hmm. All right, then Friday woke up, did our nerd premium podcast show, then Friday night did the sports show, then Saturday we did a feedback show, had to get on the road to go do voiceover work, record a podcast on the road, come back, put the show up. I fell asleep. What are you gonna say, Karen?
Yeah, I said, truth be told, we literally have recorded at least one podcast every day for like 7, 8, 9 days straight. I'm just gonna keep that real.
Going podcast crazy over
right
here, man.
And I work a 40-hour week job, right? So I mean, Roger works too, but he works for the podcast, right? Like, I do, I'm doing the same shit he doing plus this other shit,
right, man? It's like you said, man, the work is the work, man, right? So you always have to do it. And then I saw that Tati got in the OK Player Faces of Black Twitter, man.
So pretty.
Yeah, I was really impressed, man, because one, you know, Tati, I've known of Tati since she was working with Elon James back in the day, man. And it's cool to see her like coming to her own and to get recognized for it. Mm-hmm. Now, does this cause any jealousy on the set? You know?
Nah, man, none at all. Like we always call Tatiana the secret weapon of the Fan Bro Show. And I was the same way you are. Like, I knew of her even before, you know, she joined the team, and so did Chico Leo. And we both were just always like, she was dope on Twitter, and we just knew that, you know, she would be good. And from one, I mean, we did maybe two episodes, I think, and I was like, this is not going to work. We need some women in here. And so, you know, I hit up Tatiana and I hit up Jamie Rigetti, and both of them came on the show, and both of them, you know, that was like the original Fantastic Four Fan Bros. And, you know, Jamie is still, she's now the editor-in-chief of fanbros.com. And, you know, Tatiana is still with us. And now, nah, man, I was, like, so hype and so proud to see that shit in OK Player Dog. That was, like, so, because especially for us to get recognized, like, in that black Twitter space. Like, we get recognized in the blurred Twitter space or whatever. But there, you know, as this week improved, some people want to make this division between nerds and, you know, between blurreds and regular black people. And it's like, what the fuck are you? I can curse, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, you know, as if black people don't have enough things to divide us. And so that was just like, I was just so hype and so proud for that, man, to be, you know, to see her recognized as black Twitter, you know, and then all the shout outs to Fan Bros in there, as they said, the wildly popular Fan Bros show.
It is.
That became our new tagline after that. Thanks, OK Player.
Yeah. And then like, the other thing too is like, her getting shine. I remember I saw it, it was like either the same day or the day before, but I want to say same day that I saw that, we got an Ebony, ebony.com. So like, they put up the article. We had done the interview a while ago, but you know how when something happens a while ago, you just kind of you're like,
I forgot, because we grind so hard and do so much shit. I messed around, thought it was another podcast. I was like, well, I guess it'll come out sooner or later.
Yeah, so it was like a surprise to us, even the timing of it dropping, you know. So it dropped, but I swear to God, yo, that day I was more excited for Tati. Shit, I know her, you know what I'm saying? Like, look at Vane
stunting on them fools, right? Go ahead.
Like, it was like, and then like she retweeted us like, I know y'all. It was like a cool positive moment, man. Like, it was just you know, people showing love for each other and stuff, man. But the Fan Bros is, I mean, it's dope, dog. I was listening to it today when y'all interviewed the lady that used to be Rita Repulsa. I was catching up, and that was like, I love how, like, you know, it's a solid interview where you got like, okay, questions that any nerd wants to know, but then you get to the racial aspect of like the casting, you know, with like Elizabeth Banks and stuff that you don't get on other shows, you know. And that's why y'all are so important, and that's why people need y'all's voices out there, because, you know, other podcasters might not even think to ask that shit, or they might be afraid to ask it. And right. I love that y'all just kind of went in and just asked the questions that people wanted to know, man. So that was dope.
I mean, thank you, man. And that's something that, like, we even struggle with it, like, just to be, you know, completely transparent. We struggle with, you know, how geek should we be and how urban we should be, you know, like, how much do we want to talk about reality versus how much do we want to talk about the fantasy?
Right.
And it's like, we struggle with that because we know people want one or the other sometimes, or people want more of this or more of that. But I also say that the most important thing in this game is to be truthful and be who you are. And I give no, you know, like, right. Bro, I can't not talk about it. Like, I'm the definition, like James Baldwin said, you know, like, to be awake in America or whatever is to be, you know, angry. Like, I ain't got time for it, and I'm not here for the nonsense. So,
yeah, man, you know, I appreciate the angles on the questions. And like I said, it's the thing, because as a fan, I'm thinking it. So when y'all ask it, it's like, oh, I want to hear what she has to say about this. So it's stuff like that, man, that, like I said, man, y'all provide like such an important service, man. And then, you know, matter of fact, let me intro the show, then we'll get into the blur shit. This is the Blackout Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We'll read them on the air as long as they're nice. All right, so leave, you want to get your review read on iTunes or Stitcher, just leave a nice one. Make sure it's 5 stars. If not, we'll just ignore it. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 523 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up, man.
Oh, shit.
$2 million. Free hot niggas, dog. He locked up and they like, we ain't gonna let your black ass out.
$2 million bail hadn't been lowered, and it's looking like it's going through the summer before they even hear about have another hearing on just even lowering his bail. So I mean, that's crazy, man, but that's the country we're in, man. You can go to jail for two years without being convicted of anything or getting your trial, like no writ of habeas corpus for that dude, man. So shout out to Bobby Schmurder, man. We see you out here.
We do, dog.
Today's show is brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. tweakedaudio.com is a maker of some fine headphone material, dog. My favorite is the Hegons, or maybe they're pronounced Hegony.
Yeah, I like those.
They never spelled it out phonetically for me in the email, but I got them and they fit in my ears perfect, man. They're perfect for listening to podcasts at work. They're really discreet. They're also perfect for going to the gym and working out, man. Unlike other headphones, they don't fall out your ear every 5 seconds because they have a little prosthetic device on the inside of your ear, so it goes directly in your ear. Nothing wraps around your ear. There's no chafing. There's no skin irritation things to worry about. Just directly in your ear.
I like them for the fact that I got tiny ears. Shout out to all the people with the tiny ears, because everybody ain't got big ears. So my ears are tiny. So most headphones kind of fall out of my ears, and it's very hard to get something to actually fit inside my ears. So they actually go in the ear without being in your ear, because they kind of loop down. And so I like it that they just kind of almost clip in your ear, per se, because I feel like a little clip, and they don't move, and I love it.
There you go, man. So make sure you guys go to tweakedaudio.com and put in code TBGWT and get your headphones for 33% off with free shipping and a lifetime guarantee, man, for under warranty, man. So make sure you guys do that. That's tweakedaudio.com, code TBGWT. Hey, man, did anybody ask OK Player when they gonna get around the faces of nigga Twitter? Because I feel like I would be on that. I'm waiting to get my shine, man. I feel like that's right up that alley. Nobody talk about nigga Twitter, man. Everybody too busy talking about black Twitter, but I feel like the subsection of nigga Twitter, we don't get our props.
I don't know what subsection I fit into, B. I always felt like I'm not black enough for black Twitter, and I'm not white enough for white Twitter, obviously. And blurred Twitter, I guess, works for me, but... Yeah, I'm definitely not Hotep Twitter, you know, despite the locks. And I don't know, man. I just sit there and tweet, and you know, so I need weirdo Twitter to be recognized. That's what I need.
Yeah, it's a lot of subsections, man. I feel like more than anything, that's what got highlighted this last week was just that. Because I don't feel like any divisions were created. I feel like divisions get highlighted, like. Yeah. People that don't fuck with each other get loud about it, because it's like, time to go in. And I guess, how did you grow up, Ben? Did you grow up like nerdy? You grow up like one of a couple black people? Did you grow up in a majority black hood? Like how'd you grow up, man?
I grew up in Third Ward, Houston, Texas, man. Like, and I grew up where, like, Third Ward is historically black neighborhood, you know, it's where Beyonce is from, etc. And it goes from, like, the poorest, you know, the CUNY Home Projects, like, right across the way from me to, like, you know, upper middle class black people. And then I went to school with, you know, I was bused to school in the middle of Houston with, like, everybody, you know. So, like, my best friend growing up from kindergarten was a Jewish kid, and my other best friend from second grade, who I'm both still tight with to this day, is a black kid who lived, you know, a few blocks from me. So I grew up with everyone, and, you know, and so I grew up with, and because of that, especially in Houston, there's a lot of racial tension. Like, I grew up in Houston where it is, you know, I was called nigger to my face by a white man, you know, when I was 12 years old, I think, maybe 11, 10. Yeah, there's no fucks given in Houston, especially back then. Like, you know, I saw race riots before I left high school. You know, it was a volatile place at the time. And I also grew up before the internet. You know, I grew up with, like, you know, what is it, messaging services and, you know, bulletin boards. But I grew up, you know, people had to talk to you face to face.
Right.
So I'm just really, I mean, like, this weekend really showed me again, man, people will just say whatever to you.
Right.
Or say whatever in general, like, on Twitter, like, speaking out into the void. And then if you respond to them, people will be like, why'd you respond to me? You know, go right. fuck yourself. And I'm like, yo, but you said something. Like,
yeah, I think people don't have necessarily empathy to look at the other person a lot of times to be like, so what's their experience and what's driving it? You know what I mean? So like, for example, well, like when it came to being like a nerd type thing, where I grew up, all the nerds that I knew were also black. You know what I'm saying? So like, I didn't have the experience of being, but nerd meant some different shit when I grew up too. Like, I think nerd now means like, you know, comic books, video games, maybe you're really smart. When I grew up, nerd was kind of like social outcast. Yeah, like you didn't have a lot of friends. Like that was your friends were the nerds, the niggas ain't nobody want to hang out with. So it was kind of like the movie nerds, almost how you look at the movie nerds and you're like, oh, nobody wants to kick it with them dudes. They're not exactly smart or intelligent. Booger was a dumbass, you know what I mean? They didn't like Lamar because he was gay, you know what I mean? But they just didn't want to associate with him, so they pushed him to the side. So that, but I think it's changed over my lifetime. I think nerd now is like, I like Captain America and fucking Spider-Man. Like, you know, I read comic books, you know, I like the culture. And I think, people haven't really been inclusive as far as like, it's been a lot of people feeling gentrification. Yeah. There's been a lot of people trying to kick people out of nerddom. Like, I don't want no girls in my nerddom. You know, I don't want I don't want this in my nerddom. And I think people are trying to be arbitrators of the gate. Like, keep these people out, let these people be in. And I feel like everybody, by virtue of just saying that that's what they into, should be in. Like, it shouldn't be a, you know, you're a nerd and you're not. You're in and you're not. You're a blurred, but you're not a nerd. You're a nerd, but you're not a blurred. Like, it feel like it's a lot of, like, labels and shit.
Man, you making my head hurt, dog. Like,
hey, man, I be keeping it. This is what we do here, man. We keep it deep.
Yeah, because I grew up, like you said, I grew up with black nerds, white nerds. Everyone, like, all my friends were nerds. But it was definitely, like you said, it was a different thing. Like, now it's like, you know, there are, you know, women, you know, I mean, there's everyone seen the Avengers. Half of my timeline has Black Panther names.
Right.
You know, it's just a standard thing to be interested in this stuff now. I grew up when reading comic books was like, what? You know, there were certain cool kids who saw it as cool, I guess, but it was still like a different thing, you know. And it may be comic books, but then if you get into like super nerd stuff like Dungeons and Dragons,
right.
You know, Warhammer, and like, I mean, I'm a super nerd, be like, it's not a game. And so it's like, there was a level to it, and like, people would look at you like, okay, you know, a little bit, you know, but it's now, it's just so, it's more socially accepted, and the idea, and I can't with people trying to keep people out, you know, right. Or like, people are like, yo, you weren't a Black Panther fan before the movie came out. I'm like, I don't care. You weren't a Black Panther fan before you first saw him. Right. Like, who cares? Like,
and plus, all the participation helps it grow. And it helps it get better. Like, we don't get a Black Panther movie if there's not casual people that go, I want to go watch an Iron Man movie. Like, you need all those people to build towards the goals of getting everybody involved, man.
Because for me, I'm sorry, cut you off, because for me, I am a casual fan, because I know for a very, very long time, Roger used to tell me I was a nerd, and my definition of nerd is very different than the definition of nerd today, because I was like, look, I didn't wear no protractor, I wasn't in no AG classes, I didn't wear no high waters pants with the belt buckles, I was never picked on, like, you know,
all those.
and I'm not knocking those people, but that was my definition of nerd. It was like, I didn't, you know, couldn't quote the Pythagorean theorem, like, I wasn't like that, so, and I didn't read comic books and all that stuff, I didn't read a comic book that I became an adult. So when Roger used to call me a nerd, I was like, nigga, I'm not no nerd, I just like shit.
Right. Well, the thing is, though, Karen is a nerd. I mean, like, when she found out the dude that made Nintendo died, she had went on a rant about how they kept selling the same games over and over for the last 30 years. That I haven't even put out to this day, because it's not fair to regular listeners. People know what I'm talking about. They listen to the nerd off. They already know.
You know what?
So it's like, you could try to pretend. I know some of us want to be day walkers, and that's cool. But yeah, you got some nerd in you. It's cool.
You know what? And I didn't realize. I thought about it. I say, as time goes on, I realize I'm more nerdier than I thought. Like, because for me, I got mad over a Fable beta. And And I didn't think about it till Chris from his Sandy Check says, most people don't even know what the fuck a beta is. Yes, and right. You are like snapping and going off about something that the average person wouldn't even know what it was. I was like, oh shit, you all right.
Yeah, you playing Plants vs. Zombies, and I hate to spoil it, but both of their mama's name is Martha. They're gonna make up at the end of the game, and it's not gonna be a fight no more.
It's not gonna be a fight.
Well, like I've been seeing, like, you know, the hashtag gate shit, man, and I did want to talk about it because it's been crazy to me, man. Like, everybody knows, like, at this point, I'm assuming everybody's heard our Saturday episode. We talked about it directly, but with Firestarter and stuff, now there's like articles coming out, people coming in late, which is kind of part of this whole thing. You can't control the news cycle, you can't control the internet, you can't control any of it. Like, we've had issues like that in the past with our show where, like, you know, and I've gone on the air, man, and been livid, you know what I mean? So I even understand the mistake that was made, in my opinion. Like, it felt very, at the time, it felt like, oh, I have to do this. But I feel like in hindsight, there's only been two shows I regret, and both of them I was angry and went off and then went back and said, like, it's sometimes one of them, it took me a long time and I was like, that was wrong. It was a better way to handle it. And I went to the ego route, you know, and I try not to do that now every day. So the thing is, Jamie didn't want credit. I didn't want credit. And lost in all of this stuff is there's a dude who wrote a lazy ass article. They got, like, it just highlights the divisions. And I felt like it took, and that's why I was bringing up earlier, like, how people come up. I think it took everybody back to high school, man. Like, Whatever you were doing in high school and however you felt about other people's blackness at that time, it takes a lot of us back to being a kid, whether it's the blur where you're like, because some black people grew up feeling like my own people don't fuck with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I like anime and people say that's not black. So
yeah,
they discount my blackness. They think I talk white. So you have that trauma, because that's trauma and it's real.
Right. And it's a real pain. And it's one of those things that a lot of times people have a tendency to dismiss people for feeling like that. But that feeling is real.
Right.
And it's something that has to be addressed. And it's one of the things, I think for me, the thing that makes me upset, I never dismiss anyone's blackness. Your blackness is your blackness. And that is something I can't take away from you.
Right.
And I think once you begin to challenge people's blackness, you begin to challenge who they are as an individual person. Right. And that's when people get defensive, and that's when people get mad, and that's when people get angry.
Because it takes you back to being a kid.
Right. And I think for me, because I struggled with a lot of stuff, but being black is something that I never really struggled with, because right, I knew that was something that I could not change. It might have been other aspects of my life, but I didn't grow up in predominantly white areas. I wasn't plucked from my peers and put in AG classes. I'm just, right, you know, so my experience was a tidbit different than the people who were kind of raised up in the area where once you just separate people from their peers, maybe this is just me, I'm keeping this real, particularly right, black children, you pull them away from the rest of the group, you put them with their peers, and a lot of times these groups are predominantly white, Asian, like, a lot of times you almost are stripped away from, for some people, consider stripped away from your blackness and put in a whiteness. And right, it's one of these things where to get along, or because all of a sudden you don't have friends, you consider different, you begin to adopt the whiteness. And for some people, they actually drink the water and believe that the white man's water is better. And for some of them, they feel like, these are my only friends, these are the only people that accept right, me, and fuck them niggas. When at the end of the day, black people are the only ones that's going to love and support you no matter what you deal with and no matter what you go through. And you can't promise that with these people that you quote unquote think sometimes, especially when you're younger, that they are your friends. And some of them may be your friends for life, but majority of them, they only like you because you're quote-unquote the good one. And that's real, too.
Yeah, I'm not trying to discount anybody's reality, and I'll get to that part in a second. But I just want to say, like, from the perspective of a lot of people that, because I used to feel this way about, like, just the idea of blurred. Like, I would just be like, I'm black, and I like nerdy shit. But I didn't want to say nothing about blur because I just felt like it was almost like admitting that nerd is white, and now I'm a special case because I'm black and having to be a nerd. I see it differently now because, you know, I developed my thinking to where I'm like, I want to be inclusive of everybody and think about everybody's experience.
Right.
I used to discount people that said like, well, black people used to pick on the way I talk as a kid. And I just be like, nigga, man, you had to get over that shit. You old now. Like, I used to feel that way. And then I was like, but how you going to tell somebody like when they 13 and they going through that, get over it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody shit is important at 13 and it shapes you for the rest of your life. So I don't ever want to discount that. And I like, so the judgment that I think it triggers so many people. And that's what I saw on Twitter, is people being triggered, especially black women. Cause you have a lot of, like, there's a whole nother level of like gender to this shit where women have been excluded, not just from nerdery, but then also suppose they got to sacrifice gender shit for blackness, right? Like, oh, why you got to bring up that shit? We all black, you know, like that type of thing. So I watched a lot of people go through that shit this whole weekend, man. And it was like mention after mention, you know, articles coming out, like long rants, like them Thrones versus Thrones, y'all. Like, the shit was like a whole throwdown. And it was crazy to watch.
It was like you said, it's one of those things where it's almost like a school lunch fight. And it's one of those things where I'm like sitting up on the table, goddamn, why everybody throwing food?
Right.
Oh man. Like I said, you already discussed this on Saturday, but yeah.
Now I want to talk about it with you though,
yeah,
too, because
you. Yeah, sweetie.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you exist at a nexus of all this shit as well. And I'm sure these issues, you know, affect your show. It affects your life, individually. All this shit shapes us, man. And like, I really was thinking about just doing this show and being like, I'm just not even gonna talk about this shit. But I was like, it's important to talk about it. It's really the only thing to talk about, if we being honest, cause everything else don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything else is like, oh, this nigga ain't want to do a movie with James Bond no more. Like, that shit don't matter, but us being black gonna always matter. So, you know, that's what I want to hear your take.
All right, well, man, there's so much to it, but like, it's a lot of things that I say a lot of times, and I think that they just apply in this situation as well. Like, one, the first thing is that nothing happens in a vacuum.
Right.
And I think that people always seem to forget that when things like, there was a lot of, you know, charges of misogyny and everything being thrown out at Firestarter, you know, for their rant. And while I didn't feel it was very misogynistic, I also know that nothing happens in a vacuum. So if you make things that are slightly or a little close to the line, those things are happening every day to women. Right. So it's like that type of stuff can't be discounted. And, you know, I honestly 100% had never, like, okay, well, shit, there's so much.
Right.
One, I fully agree with you that people never get out of high school. You know, that's just something. Like, who you were in high school is pretty much who you are now. You know, you are who you were when you got here. It's like people don't ever want to grow out of that mentality. And, you know, then, like you said, the ego played such a huge role in this whole situation. And I always believe, you know, ego will destroy you like that. You have to be, you know, humility. You know, you gotta know, like, people are like, oh man, I've never even, you know, honestly, I've never heard of Firestarter. Like, I see now that they've been doing this for a while, you know, shouts to them, respect, you know, I respect anybody in this game who puts in this work because, you know, this stuff is not easy doing this, you know, thing. So I really respect that, but I've never really heard of them. So the first thing I saw from this was Black Girl Nerds, you know, talking about what had happened. And I immediately hit Jamie like, yo, what's up? And she was like, da 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 da. So, you know, the first thing I did was go and listen to the Firestarter podcast because I wanted to hear what was being said. And I was like, y'all just in the wrong. You know, I mean, it was like 30 minutes long and it was just like, for real, bro? Like, you could have solved this with one tweet.
Right.
You know, one tweet would have solved all this. And we're a community. Like, that's the part that angered me, honestly, is when people started trying to tell me, because then it turned into me and, you know, I'm not sure who was tweeting from the Firestarter account, but it turned into me and them going back and forth for a good minute and them telling me that they do their show for regular niggas, you know, and regular niggas don't care about where Doomsday came from or, you know, or some reference like that, you know, in reference to Fanbro's show. And I'm just like, nigga, what? Like, first of all, you know, that's silly. Like that idea that you do something for a select audience, like Fanbro's show comes from us, but we don't do it for black people, white people, any people. We do it because there's not enough representation in media of people of color. But right. We don't do it to, you know, be like, yo, only niggas can listen to us. Mm-hmm. Only black women, you know, only green, you know, redheaded people can listen. That's silly. Like, who would ever, like, limit yourself like that? I want everyone in the world to hear us.
Right.
You know, that makes no sense to limit myself to something. And then not even to limit myself, but to try and exclude certain people and say, oh, these are regular niggas. These are blurs. What are you talking about, dog? You go to a barbershop right now. Like that was the tweet that I said. Like, anybody, if you watch Game of Thrones, you know how much history and how much backstory you have to keep in your head to know what's going on that show. You're a nerd, dog. You're a super dork if you keep up with that show. I don't care what color skin you are. That's insane to say you're not. It's like, what?
Well, you know what's funny is, like, Game of Thrones is so popular that it's like pop culture at this point. But it is, like, from when I was growing up, if I told somebody I was reading a book about dragons, swords, yes, and shit, like, I used to get my books from the thrift store. And I would read these books my grandmama would give me, maybe like, you know, a nickel to, but they would be these sci-fi, you know, role playing Dungeons and Dragons, all kinds of like choose your own adventure shit.
Yes, sir.
And I've never had a conversation in real life with another person, like at the same time where I'm like, yo, did you read? Like, I've never had that conversation because I just knew it was nerd shit. I was like, I know y'all didn't read that. You know what I'm saying? So I think the ego part took over, you know, and like I said, I've done it before. I remember I listened.
All of us have.
There was a show that I listened to that sounded so much like our show. I was sure. I said, they jacked our show. I think the episode is called Who Stole the Show. Like, it's a long time ago, but I was like, you know, we were barely into this shit, but I remember being like, I can't believe somebody stole our show, dog. Like, the music underneath, the format, the fucking, like, everything. I wanted to just, like, act, like, just to go at them. Like, I'm gonna name them. I'm gonna fucking email. I'm gonna tell them, like, yo, this is fucked up. You couldn't even, like, give us credit. And instead I went off on the air, but I didn't name them. Thank God. That's the only thing that really, the only thing I'm proud of is that I didn't name them and shit, because that would have probably been the ultimate, like, I would have really played myself even further. But when I went back, I realized it was my ego talking. It was insecurity too, cause
right.
I was so scared that somebody was gonna get props off of me. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to me getting props off my own shit. I was so insecure about it, but you really can't copy individuality, you know? And when something is dope, people are gonna copy it because they wanna be dope too. And it's like, if they're faking the funk, then people gonna pick up on that without you saying a word. They'll be like, that's not authentic. That's not even, you know. And if they're not faking the funk, they're gonna be like, people gonna be like, oh, they really enjoy that thing. I think what was so fucked up about the thing with Black Girl Nerds and with us and stuff is that we're two parties that don't want the credit. Like, because I've seen people jack people for the credit. Like, I want this my shit now. If I get an interview, I'm saying this my shit. If I monetize this shit, somebody tried to take fucking Black Girl Magic.
Yes, they did.
Like, someone tried to make a Black Girl Magic magazine without addressing the lady who started it. Like, that, and Black Twitter got them up out of here. But I think so much happens in the approach. You know what I mean? Cause I really do, in my heart of heart, believe, cause I've talked to Jamie, like, DM, I've talked to Jamie on email. In my heart of heart, if you shoot her email, she's so good, people, she would have took care of it. Like,
end of story.
Yeah, it would have never. Yeah.
It's not even a question. I mean, Jamie took care of it after it all happened in the place, and that shows you something else. Like, cause me, dog, I wouldn't, like, that's something like, that's why I say that stuff about, like, misogyny and stuff. Like, people are like, oh, we weren't misogynistic. I'm like, bruh, if you had said that type of stuff to me, Lord have mercy. Right. You know, like, it would have been a huge issue. Like, it would have been something different, because it's like, you, for one, that's what I mean, you're not gonna speak like that to a man, I don't think. You know, like, they made threats, I mean, not threats, whatever, they said things to, like, and that was another thing that bothered me, man, it's like, they said things to Grantland, they said things to other people, but they didn't name Jamie. Right. You know, it's like, speak, dog, like, I grew up before the internet, I will say your name, you know, I will tell you who I am, you see my face, don't play that, like, all that.
Well, also,
you know, vagueness. No, yeah, man. Oh, no, 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 no. And, like, yeah, man, it's.
Well, also, like, there's a, I mean, I feel you, because the thing is, you brought up the point that I would have made earlier too, which is that nothing happens in a vacuum. And the thing for Black Girl Nerds, man, that has a huge following. That she represents so many Black women and the space they're not supposed to be in, but they own that shit, right? Mm-hmm. And they so, and it's like literally Thrones, y'all trended. It don't matter if it trended out of spite. That's just them getting information like, all right, so look, this the power out here. Mm-hmm. And this, and it was made clear, like, all right, the statement made, like, understood, like anyone that don't understand what the point that was made, you see celebrities tweeting this shit before the show started, it was trending. Like, the statement was made, and I feel like she was wronged. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like it couldn't be clearer, but like you said, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. The reason that that statement was made so strongly and forcefully is because they catch shit all day, every day.
Yes.
So you can't just be like, I'm not aware of this person and I'm going to say this shit, because you also means you're not aware of their following. You're not aware of the fact that, you know, they might not want your credit. You're not aware of the fact that if they've given you props or not, and you're not aware of the people that will rally around them. People still want us to fight with them. Like, that's how bad it is. Like, we talked on Saturday, like, I'm not contributing to any disharmony. Like, that's it. Like, they apologize, which I think can't be stated enough, but obviously, right, once cast out the bag, can't put it back, dog. But they apologize, and they haven't said really anything else about it as far as keeping the shit going. It was people coming at them, and I do feel like some of the shit they caught was, it was defensive. Like, people were being defensive. Cause you hurt somebody they love and now they want to come at you. Cause some of the shit was shit that when white people do it to us, we don't fuck with those white people. Like, like tone policing, quote unquote, where it's like, you can't get an attitude with this person because look at how you said it. Like, normally we'll be like, nah, if you wrong, you just wrong, right? Problem is, I don't think Jamie was wrong. The second part of this is, people that was being like, well, who the fuck are y'all? You know, if somebody does create something, they want their credit. I don't think that's the right response to be like, nigga, y'all ain't nobody. It's like, nah, they are the person that started this trend, whatever, like, whether you know what I mean? Like, it's okay to say, yes, you started this trend. I think you made a mistake the way you went about it, but yes, you deserve your credit. Like, I can say that and still be like, but I think you were wrong.
1,000%. Like, I think they deserve all the credit in the world for creating that. And then I also think that they were, like you said, were just completely wrong about how they went about trying to get it. And like, no, like I said, I hadn't heard of them, but that doesn't discount them or anything. That doesn't, you know, you can't be like, oh, you know, who the hell are y'all? Like, they created that. They're doing their thing. They're working in this world. Like, you know, that's a good thing, but it was just very wrong how you went about it. And that's my point to people is like, if somebody's never heard of you and now this is your first exposure to them.
Right.
It becomes like, well, you know, and do you want that to be your first exposure to the world?
Yeah, that's always
what you have to ask yourself.
Right. That's always that, man. Cause like, it's hard to get over a first impression of a fucker, man. And like, so many people, they not like, I've had people that hit me with like, well, you know, this is what happened. And I'm like, I lived what happened. Like, I know what happened cause I've heard every second of that show from the time that show started. And I also know what happened because I've been on that show and they've been on our show. Mm-hmm. I know what happened with Jamie because I've been on her show. Oh, she's been on our show and we've talked before. Like, it's not like it's on the outside looking in it. Or on the inside looking out, it's so hard to explain to people. Like, as much as everybody talk about peace, they want to see people fight so bad. Like, it's like, if you don't fight, then you also part of the problem. And it's like, I don't know what you're supposed to do with that, you know, type of attitude, because the second you say some shit, it's also gonna be, well, nah, nigga, you was wrong for taking action. It's like, you're gonna get judged either way, man. So we're trying to bring motherfuckers back together, because it's sad to see this shit, because like, I'm a lot like you, where if you know all the shit about Game of Thrones, it's nerdy. Like,
stop it that you're a regular nigga.
Yeah.
Or accept that everyone is, you know, that everyone is a regular, whatever, right. You know, that's just how it is. Stop it, Five. Like, come on, man.
Like regular niggas like Game of Thrones too. And that's cool. You know, like, it should be a thing that bring everybody together. But yeah, man, it's just like I said, it's difficult navigating the middle, because it's just like, god damn, man. Like an article comes out, niggas be in your mentions. You know, like somebody else says something, a retweet, boom, they back in your mentions. It's like, yo, we dropped our statement. We trying to stay peaceful. We trying to keep this shit floating. And it's just been wild, man. It's been hard to deal with. But I mean, obviously not harder than everything everybody else is going through. At any rate, man, the other part of this I wanted to say too about the blur shit. I did grow up where I was moved into those AG classes and those AP classes. And in my school, the majority of the people in there were white.
Yep.
And it would be like one, maybe two other black people in there. And I this is what I was thinking about when I was like, where does the rejection of blur come from within me? Cause you gotta examine yourself. You can't just be like, man, fuck that shit. But then be like, well, where did it come from? Cause fuck that shit is pretty harsh. Way they reject somebody, right? Mm-hmm. I think that shit came from me because I was rejected by blurs in the situations I was in. So it was like, as the black kid that did live in a predominantly black neighborhood, that did have working class to lower income family, that was bussed over there from, you know, the black hood and shit. I listen to hip hop. We down here in the South, but I listen to hip hop, and this before Outkast and shit, but like Tribe and shit, Far Side. And the other black kids that were in there culturally, especially since some of them have been put in AG and shit from an early age, they had already culturally been accepted in the whiteness and vice versa. Like, they listen to Aerosmith and they're listening to Guns N' Roses and shit like that. And I'm the outcast. Like, I'm the outcast even as the black person. And like, I remember there was one girl I came up to, like, it was early in the school year, and I'm just like, oh, cool, another nigga. So I walk up, I walk up to her and I'm just like, hey, my name's Rod, you know, like just to kind of be like, we black, we, you know. And I remember, I'll never forget, she was just like, well, I only go with white dudes. And I was like, what just happened here? Like, I wasn't trying to holler at you, and I wasn't flirting. I definitely didn't need to know this information. It's like you wanted me to know that it was just a rejection, period. Like,
yeah, I'm not fucking with you.
Right. Like, I'm not fucking with you at all. So, like, I remember, though, like, that feeling of, like, damn, these other black people judging me. Because I am the one that's talking in Ebonics. And I am the one that my pants are sagging a little bit. And I did have a motherfucking, the overalls from Another Bad Creation. But with the mother, like, I did have, you know what I'm saying? I did the inside out pockets. I did the backward pants like crisscross. Like, that, like, cause I, for my neighborhood, I could not that I couldn't, but I did not want to leave my house as, let me put on some, sensible khakis and some, I'm leaving in basketball shorts and shoes and shit too. Cause we get home, we gonna play basketball. So like, my culture was the outcast in this situation. And I think I harbored that resentment till I was like, shit, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I would see, even worse for me, man, I listened to everything, you know. Like, I was even into hip hop, but before I got into hip hop, I listened to like new wave and punk heavy, you know. And then I got into hip hop, and then I was listening to Nirvana, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, you know, anything. So I grew up like the weirdo of weirdos, you know. It wasn't until I really started DJing that I found like acceptance amongst people, I would say. Like, I was just like,
well, the internet is being great for that too, though, right? Because
that's another thing, yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
That's like when people look at like, why does black girl nerds have such a heavy following that rides for them? Because there's black girl nerds everywhere that didn't get to connect until this.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is the shit. Regardless of who is behind the account, regardless of who tweets what, because there's also black girl geeks. Jamie has an entire fucking roster of people that write for her. Like, she is a force to be reckoned with. So when you look at all that, all the people she brought together, anytime you take a shot at that circle, you take a shot at everybody. Like, nobody's gonna separate that shit and be like, oh no, I see your point. Everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck? Like, nah, you can't come here and fuck up our party. And every last one of those people that's affiliated with black girl nerds fought for their nerdness. Like, they fought for their inclusion. You know what I'm saying? That's what blur really means. It's like, this is a space I thought I was excluded from, and I'm saying I'm here and I'm black.
Yeah.
So how can you hate that?
Black. I think it's just, you know, the, like, black girl nerd says black girl, but Like, even with her and with Fambro's show, and I'm sure with y'all, it's not just black people listening, you know, or right, feeling a right. part of it. It's that, you know, it's not, I'm not a black girl nerd, you know, but I love black girl nerds because I love that it represents a space for people who weren't represented. And, oh man, that's my biggest problem with what happened this weekend is that I feel like we have enough attacks from outside and right. there is enough white media, you know, right. there is not enough of us. So there's always space for more. And like you were saying, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, to be honest right. with you. I listen to people here and there, but I really spend most of my time listening to what we're doing because I'm just always focused on us and how can we get better.
Right.
Cause that's all that matters. Like, I don't worry about what other people are doing. If people steal from us, I'm sure, you know, I know for a fact there's podcasts
right.
sound exactly like Fambro's show that came up after us. Great. Fantastic. Keep doing y'all because you're not me. You're not Chico Leo. You're not right. Tatiana. I'm not you. I'm not, you know, Rod. I'm not say that again. It's these are, you know, every what we're doing is not unique. Who we are is.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, look, man, I feel like, they like that's a lesson that everybody got to learn, and it's weird being a regular person and then also having media because it's like this is my life, I talk about it, but then it's someone somewhere judging it, it's someone sharing it, it's someone somewhere identifying with it, as opposed to just when I talking with my niggas at like a lunchroom table, them four people heard my story. And that's mm-hmm. it. You know what I'm saying? Like the only four people that can judge me is them cats right there. So like, it is different and it's wild to see like how big this internet shit is.
It's huge.
And to see like the whole effects, man. Cause like, I'm just sitting there the whole day, like watching my timeline, like not gonna say shit about that. Not gonna say shit about that. God damn, everyone talking about this shit. Like it was just such a wild, wild moment, man, in black Twitter history, man. And like I said, our show existed this nexus where we're cool with so many people because that's what yes, we try to spread. Are. Like there's so many people that we're just like, nah, we fuck with them, you know? So like, you know, we don't really accept shit talking about anybody. Like if someone writes up here and they like, hey man, I don't, like we've had emails about Fan Bros.
And we had to correct
forward them to me.
No, I don't like. Yeah, like we've had to like. Yo, man, I don't appreciate that y'all do the show that I really like because other shows. And I said, man, don't write this shit up here again.
Right, we
don't
like,
write
no.
this shit. If you want to compliment me, man. Don't come over to me and be like, yo, Ben, I like your dreads, man. But I just seen a nigga with some nappy dreads, man. You know that nigga's head was fucked up. It's like. Yo, bro, that's not really a compliment,
no,
man.
No, that's not.
So like, we've had that about probably almost every black guess, podcast, yeah. But like, it's so wild that people think like that, cause I really feel like low key, people wanna see us fight. Mm-hmm. Like, they wanna see us fight more than they wanna see us get along, man. It's like, right. you know
yeah,
what I'm
man.
Saying?
I mean, I just, like that's funny to me, like people, I mean, and that's another thing. But I think that goes on every level, like Marvel versus DC.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that's really crazy. Like some, you know, when this whole thing was going on, a friend of mine who's not involved in podcasts and, you know, right. any of that, he was just watching everything on Twitter and he called me up and he was like, yo man, people act like they can't like more than one show.
Right. Yes.
I watch like 30 TV shows a week. Like I don't care what channel puts it on. I'm not like, yo, Fox didn't make that. I ain't on, you know. It's like, I'm like, yo, what channel was that on? All right, let me watch that. You know, I listen, you know, like I said, I don't listen to that many podcasts, but right. I listen to what I like, and I don't be like, yo, I can only listen to one nerd podcast.
Well, that's like, another thing you gotta be careful of too, cause like, you know, business wise, you talk shit about somebody, you have to be prepared for the fact that somebody listens to you and them. You yes. know what I'm saying? You need to be prepared for the fact that you hurt somebody in your audience's feelings. Cause they like, but I like both of y'all. Like, I've had to make that decision before where I'm like, yo, what this dude is saying is too fucked up for me not to say anything. So that means it weighs heavily where I'm like, I have to go out and be like, yo, what this dude said was fucked up. Like, and that means people are going to be hurt. We went to, we were going to use the hashtag Thrones Sunday, right? Because mm-hmm. we were like, we don't want to fuck with anyone's credit, and I respect creators. And if their wish is for us not to use it, I can't speak for everyone else, and I can't control no one else's actions. But for myself, I don't like feeling like an interloper. So you right. ain't got to tell me but once to get out mm-hmm. the crib, right? But they hit me up, and they hit us up, and they were like, look, man, it will be cool if y'all use the hashtag because... like, we're sorry, but we also aren't trying to have all this division, and it's clearly creating a ton of division. And we have, and so like our fans were in our Facebook group being like, fuck man, I'm sad that we using this new hashtag. I'm like, god damn, I don't want you to use a new hashtag and be sad every time you use it. we watching this show, we supposed to be happy, we supposed to be like, oh shit, niggas phone, right? So like, I don't want
tweeting and crying,
right? Niggas are not listening to us,
they type,
right? Like, oh, Hodor throne. Like, I didn't want
Game of Thrones was already, you know, hard enough, right? I don't need the extra.
That was the like the
don't
last
need the extra stress.
That was the last thing I wanted. So I went, Karen was in the bed, and I went and talked to her, and I was like, let's just do the Them Thrones thing for just like the unity of it. And if, you know, like whoever does it, does it. This isn't like a war. I'm not gonna fight anybody about it or what. Just what if we just did that? And in our Facebook group, the relief among our fans,
oh my god,
is the
like
number one reason.
Hundreds of responses, literally.
Like, I know it was the right decision. It's not a popular decision. And when people want to see you fight and they want to see people take sides, it's definitely gonna, like, people are gonna twist it however they want. But just the relief on our fans of them being like, man, I'm just trying to have fun with this shit.
Right.
And we've been doing this shit for 4 years now. Why are we gonna let really a misunderstanding, if we're being honest, create this? You know what I'm saying? And they, like I said, when they say they sorry, I can't make anyone else forgive you, but it's forgiving for me. Mm-hmm. Like, real talk, man, I like that was hard for me to do because I was hurt, but I'm glad I did it. So at any rate, let's get into our games, man. We only got a few minutes left here. We only got like 30 minutes left, and we do want to have some fun, but I feel like
can I say one thing real quick?
Of course.
I mean, this has nothing to do with any of that, but people in the comment section told me to speak on my Cross Colors hoodie that
break it down, brother.
I worked at Safeway, basically a grocery store, for a whole damn summer. This was before I was a DJ, any of that. And just to buy this one Cross Colors hoodie, and I got it, and I wore that joint all the time. And like the Fan Bro symbol right here, it was like yellow, orange. It had green in it. It was striped, you know, horizontally striped. The whole thing completely striped out. It's horrible, dog. It was so horrible, and I saved up all goddamn summer for that, and I wore it with yellow pants. They weren't even Jabos because I was broke, so I just got some, you know, cheap ass yellow pants. And yeah, I think there might be pictures of me in it somewhere out there, but if they are, you ain't seen that on Throwback Thursday.
What age was this that Ben was in the Cross Colors?
I was like 14, 15.
Okay.
Definitely high school. Yeah, definitely.
Now, did you keep them all the way to Howard? Were you walking across Howard and some,
Hell no! What? Oh, God! Oh, fuck no! That shit didn't make it past, like, a year, maybe. Like, you know, I wore that, I had to wear it all that year. You know, it was like when I got Bo Jackson's 1 year, and I wore them every day, damn near.
Oh.
That hoodie, got, you know, was worn, like, at least once a week. But hell no, did that make it to Howard?
Yo,
oh no.
You know what hurt?
I came to Howard looking bummy and crazy, but it was, you know, that was because that was me.
Well, you know what hurt was when your parents be right about them choices.
Because
it hurt that they right, because I was sore. I was like, you just don't understand, Mom. I need these. I need these damaged jeans and these inside out overalls.
Was like, nope.
Like, I'm telling you, the best revenge your parents have was just pictures. Just like, okay, oh, so you want to rock the mohawk? Not a problem. Let me go get my camera.
My mom sat in the Foot Locker with me for like an hour explaining to me materialism and commercialism and why Bo Jackson's name didn't make the shoes better. And you know, at the end of that, you know, we still dropped $90 on them joints, and I wore nothing else for like a year and a half.
Right.
Except Bo Jackson's. Like, the next shoes she bought me were these terrible joints from like Payless for like $20. And, you know, I had to rock those because I had nothing else. And it was,
look, my parents were right about the parachute pants. You know what I'm saying? They was right about
I had some of them. I rocked them bitches hard, too.
They was right about how I rocked my overalls. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely was rocking them the wrong way. It didn't make no sense.
Crisscross.
Like, the backwards joint, they was right about that.
I did that, too.
I look back on all that shit like, yo, I really should have went with some sensible slacks. Cause that shit was,
I should have been reasonable.
That shit is timeless. Like, that picture could be from the 1940s or it could be from 2040 and everybody will be like, that dude makes sense. But my shit back then was just like, yo, really a blue silk shirt? Like, that's what you walking out the house in the blue silk, dog? You can't even sweat in that.
No. I had a purple full length trench with a hoodie on it and purple suede Patrick Ewing's. And a boy had a like turquoise same hoodie trench and some turquoise shoes, and we came to the school dance, high school, thinking we was killing it. Purple suede Patrick Ewing's, dog. I mean, oh,
bruh,
in Houston, like, come on.
One of the hottest places on earth,
bruh. That was the struggle, man. Thinking I was looking good. Walking out the house like, yeah, I'm gonna kill him today. Be at school with sweat patches under my silk. Like, this was a bad mistake. Like, I'm looking like I'm musty. It's terrible up in here, man. Alright, let's see if we can squeeze in a couple games before we get out of here. Of course, our first game is a little game called, Fucking with Black People. Okay. Now I feel like this whole show kind of been fucking with Black people, mm-hmm. but hopefully it's been cathartic for people and probably get people writing in about their experiences in childhood with their nerdery and all that shit too, man. But
all white so many times.
Yeah, see that, like I said, it's not my experience, right? So shit. I used to discount that, and I realized that while I'm talking about anti-blackness, I'm being anti-black because that's a right. black person's experience that I'm telling don't count. That's how you. That's not love, you know?
Times, bro. I cannot count how many times I was called white. And I mean all the way up into high school. Like, you
know. Now, was it only Black people calling you white? Was everybody calling you? Like, where was it coming from?
Everyone, but first would be Black people, I would have to say, probably. And they, like, especially in Houston, because, you know, I have like curly hair when I didn't have locks. And so it was just like an assumption that I was mixed all the time first. Mm. And then even less than that, that I was just not even Black at all. You know, and both of my parents are Black. You know, my mom's from Florida, my dad's from Ohio. And people would just assume I'm from everywhere but there, but Houston, but Earth sometimes. And like, just with, you know, yeah, would never say, yeah.
Yeah, that shit shaped, like I said, it shapes us all, man. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was talking about this shit on Saturday, it took me back to fourth grade. When a dude I thought I was cool with punched me in my fucking stomach, and I was just like, nigga, what? Like, what is happening as I'm on the ground trying to get all the wind back? You know what I'm saying? But it took me back to that moment, man. And it's like, I don't, like, it might sound vulnerable on the mic, but I prefer to be honest about it. And like, honestly, cause like, hurt is real. And I think the whole thing that started this was hurt.
Real, right?
All this shit was hurt, but people, you know, like normally, right. And normally men don't talk that way. It's just kind of like, nigga, you know, get over it. But I think everybody was hurt, and it's just spreading out like a fucking, wave, man. And more people coming into it later and later and just getting madder and madder. But, anyway, all right, let's play this game, guys. All right.
Yeah, man.
So where's my game music, for fucking with Black people?
We're just fucking with those Black people. We're just fucking with those Blacks. We're just fucking with Black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game where we go all around the world looking for articles that fuck with Black people, and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as Black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Who's fucking with us today? Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one. Black teen was told by her teacher that her African print dress was too much for the prom, and then she went and was stunning on him. But yeah, she was profiled for her prom dress. I'll put the picture in the chat so you guys can see this beautiful dress, man. We always have these stories.
That's me, because I like purple.
Graduation and prom, we always had these stories where it's like,
right,
a Black dude had dreads, so he couldn't graduate from school. It's like, nigga, he already had the A's. Like, what? He like, I already got my diploma. Can I just walk across stage? You know. For some reason, the picture didn't come up. All right, give me a second. I'll try this one more time.
Oh, hello. Yeah, that picture came up.
Oh, it came up? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she went to the prom, stunning black woman, or black girl, actually, black teen. Yeah, every year during prom season, there's always that one person who stands out from the crowd. Last year, New Jersey teen Kaima McIntyre, looked regal in a dress that paid homage to African culture and Prince. This year, Michaela Zanders, a high school student from Ohio, did the same. And Xander said her dress was inspired by a gown, Nigerian model Jessica, and I hope I pronounced it right, Chibuze, wore to a ball. But the dress almost didn't happen. In the Instagram post, she said a teacher told her that an African print dress wasn't something that should be worn to the prom. Then she proved it wrong, and she went out with her date and stunted on these fools looking amazing. She said,
"Ooh, I like that train. That's beautiful."
Yes, she said, thank you to everyone who gave me kind words on my prom dress. My date doesn't have social media, so he's kind of nonchalant, lol. The dress came after seeing the beautiful Jess, well, it looks like Jess Nisi on is her at. She says, wearing a similar one to a ball, after discussing how beautiful it was and that I would do an African theme with the teacher, I was told it wasn't really something you wear to a prom. Hellbent on proving them wrong. And being someone who loves our culture and African glamorous style, me and Indelible_DC decided to take the Ankara dress and put a twist on it. Little did I know it would come out more beautiful than I could have ever imagined. My dress was to make a point. The African style is beautiful, that I am comfortable with my melanin and roots, and finally that there's nothing like black girl magic. So yeah, she killed it, man. 0 to 100, Karen.
100 for the teacher, 0 for the girl.
All right. What about you, Ben?
So 100 is bad, right?
Right, yeah. 100 is like, I'm so fucked with right now, and 0 is not fucked with at all.
Oh, man, I got to give them like 1,000 and give her like a negative 100. Like, yeah, fuck out of here. Like, come on, man. That joint was sick. Shorty looked amazing. Like, that's crazy. Like,
yeah, who would have saw the original dress and been like, mm-mm. like you got to be a hater, dog, to look at that and come up with that reaction. Yeah, all right, let's talk about another sales transaction here, based on, I believe it's on the prom as well. Let's see. Yep, it's on the prom. Apparently in Atlanta, a sales clerk called a woman a filthy nigger.
Oh shit. Yeah, it sounds like Atlanta.
Over a prom dress. Yes. A mom in Atlanta purchased her daughter's prom dress at a popular boutique in the city's Tony Buckhead district. Prom arguably is a high schooler's most fashionable night. It's Oscars at high school formals. Unfortunately for Atlanta teen, one memory to add to the eventful experience is the dehumanizing treatment her mom received from the sales clerk at Miss Scarlett's on Peachtree Road. The shop is touted as having an expansive two-story showroom with a vast array of wedding, prom, gala, and pageant gowns for all ages. The Facebook feud started when the dissatisfied mom commented online about her shopping experience and tagged the NAACP Atlanta's branch social media account. I purchased a dress for my daughter's prom and Miss Scarlett's from Miss Scarlett's on Peachtree. My experience was not good, so I gave a review. Please read what the owner Susan Smith had to say about black people in her establishment. So it shows the review as 1 star. And it says, I would advise anyone looking to purchase a dress to look past this place. First of all, they misplaced my daughter's dress. Secondly, they told me my alterations would be complete in 2 weeks, and I'm still waiting. Susan Smithson didn't take kindly to her comments. She asserts on Facebook, maybe because you stole it, I'm calling Atlanta police. Coretta Legs, yeah, Coretta Legs White says, I have my receipt. Call them. Susan Smithson writes back, I will, you filthy nigger.
Wow. Wait, she wrote this?
She wrote it on Facebook.
Wow.
I will, you filthy nigger. Miss Scarlett's is a white, by the way, Miss Scarlett's is spelled M-I-Z Scarlett's.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Right. Miss Scarlett's is a white owned business for whites only. Take your uppity nigger ass elsewhere, she says. And they have like screenshots of it and everything.
Wow.
My thing is this, if you don't want niggas shopping in your shit, why are you putting Z's in there for Ms? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know that we take that as a sign of welcoming, but you gonna put dollar signs for S's next?
Ah!
That's us.
And not expect no brown people to show up.
Right. 11 Alive News crew went out to visit Susan at Miss Scarlet's, and she stated that an ex-employee is behind this account that is referring to blacks as niggers. Oh yeah, you know how that ex-employee logs in as you on Facebook.
Mm-mm. Well, then you still accountable.
Can I see her ex-employee's statuses before this? Was she posting like, oh, going to Red Lobster?
No, none of that.
Enjoying a nice Starbucks.
Yeah, no.
Then suddenly it switched to niggers.
Yeah. Yo, hold up, though. I gotta go back to that. Like, yeah. That's so amazing. Right. In 2016, that you could just type on Facebook, you filthy nigger. Like, right.
But I guarantee she, if you talk to her, she's like, but I'm not racist, though.
Oh
right.
My god.
Nothing is racist nowadays.
She has black friends, so don't worry
about
it, guys.
What a time to be alive.
She states that he is trying to destroy her. I'm not sure how true that this is, but I thought I would let everyone know. I will stand by what I said about my experience with them. I was not happy and do not recommend anyone purchase from them, says mom, who goes by Coretta Legs White on Facebook. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh yeah, she get 100.
All right, what about you, Ben?
And fuck her. She gets 1,000, like a million, right? She gets a Google, like ain't enough. No, a filthy nigger, like that's so. I mean, just like,
she took like, it. She took it back.
I mean, that's like, I can't lie though. I love a good racist line. You know, like when I'm watching a movie and somebody says some, you know, ridiculously racist line, like I'll be the first laughing. So when somebody says a filthy nigger, like the amount of hate that it took to type that is like so great. Like
the amount
you get a million
creativity, because you know you had to think really hard about that one.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even that creative, but just it was so it's so expressive. That's why I like
right.
Filthy nigger.
It's really the only thing I don't like about Disney movies about racism is that because it's Disney, they can't take the racism all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I'll be watching
all the way there.
Yeah, I'm watching 42 and I'm like, come on, man. It was like at least 50 people called him nigga in this game now. Come on, yes. Guys. It was like
I'm reading his book right now and he is and it's straight up he just called nigga every game.
Right, awesome. Yeah. It wasn't no go back home, you lazy buddy. Like, nah, man.
You don't belong here, boy.
Right. Yeah, it was a lot more niggers that they skipped over in that joint. All right, let's play our second game, which is a game called Guess the Race.
Filthy nigger.
So we went from admonishing racism to promoting it. Let's go to play our song.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We play and read news articles from all over the globe, and we have our contestants today, Ben, I mean, from the Fan Bro Show, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along, and chat room's racist.
Yes, they are very.
All right. First,
I am too.
Here's the first story. Baton Rouge sisters arrested after brother stabbed in the hand during a food fight.
Creole. Oh.
Two sisters were arrested Friday after they got in an argument with their brother, leading one of the women to stab him. Precious Malloyd, 20 years old, stabbed her brother's left hand with a knife during an argument that began when her sister, Michael Nisha Malloyd, 19, wouldn't allow the victim to eat some of the food she was preparing because they had no paper plates.
Oh, I mean, come on, bro. You're making this one easy.
You gonna make me do dishes? The victim stated that he spit in the food and stated that no one would eat if he couldn't eat. So that's when, that's what the deputies wrote in Michael Nisha Malloy's affidavit of probable cause. Michael Nisha and Precious then began punching and slapping the man. Precious then grabbed a knife. And Devity said, attempted to intervene on her sister's behalf, which I'm assuming means stab her. But Precious said she didn't stab her brother, claiming she only showed the victim the knife in an attempt to scare him. Mm-hmm. But how his hand get stabbed?
She stabbed him.
But Malloy would not answer Devity's question about how he did get stabbed. So she was like, I don't know. Michael Nisha Malloy was booked in Parrish Prison on account of domestic abuse battery and remains there in lieu of $500 bail. Precious Malloy was booked on count of aggravated battery with a knife and was released Saturday on $2,500 bail, according to online booking records. Guess the race of Michael Nisha and Precious Malloy.
Okay, I think you gave me way too much information. First of all, I've never met any white women named Precious.
Okay.
I don't know. Or Michael Nisha. I've never met anyone named Michael Nisha, and that took effort. And then you said Louisiana. I would have to go with
black. He held up Finn, y'all. Y'all can't see it at home.
It's so cute.
I'm really gonna go with a little bit lighter and say Creole, you know, like somewhere in there. You know, it's Louisiana, so you know, there's definitely that mix. Like someone in the comments said, one of Beyonce's cousins, perhaps. But yeah, it's, you know.
All right, FN2187. Let's see what everybody says in the chat. Niggas in Paris. There were paper plates at Bella Noche, but they already couldn't go there. Black. Madea's family reunion. Negroes. Yeah. These were colored girls. When the fuck her good? When he fuck her good, he take her ass to a hole in the wall. Black. And the correct answer is, and Ben, you got it right. Black.
Finn is never wrong, folks.
You knocked that Listen one out the Finn. Park. Let me put the picture in there so y'all can see what Michael Nisha and Precious.
I mean, Michael Nisha. Is it like spelled Michael Nisha?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So her dad's name is Michael, and they were like, you know.
Whenever I see that, I always just be like, so your dad was vain as fuck. Like,
Michaela, you know, right? Nothing.
It was like, nah. Michael Nisha, dog. Everybody got to know these kids' mind. So yeah, y'all gotta click on the link because it's not popping up.
I think you should have put that race as thugged out.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't fuck around, dog. Like, but you know what? I feel like I far be it for me to blame the victim, but
he spit on that food.
I wouldn't spit in those ladies' plates.
Mm-mm. No.
That's
no.
all I'm saying.
I bet you that'd be the last time.
In their general direction.
Right.
Bet you that'd be the last time he spit in anybody's food.
Better wait till they finish eating. Hope you get some leftovers, bro.
Gotta look at the ground when they eat.
All right, bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Bonus round against the race. So far, Benjamin is 1-for-1, but will he mess it up in the bonus round where everything is worth twice as much? Let's see. All right. Here we go. Let's see what story we want to do next. How about this one? A father upset with his daughter's t-shirt sacrificed the family dog.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And a smoker.
Ha!
Mm-hmm. Goodyear, Arizona. Police say a father of four admitted to sacrificing the family dog because he didn't agree with his 17-year-old daughter's t-shirt. Patrick Zane Thompson, 42, was booked into 4th Avenue Jail and is facing multiple charges, including animal cruelty, assault, threats against his family, and tampering with evidence. Officers were first called to the house on Saturday for some sort of unknown trouble, but when they arrived, they found Thompson laying on the sidewalk. They said he made erratic comments that he had to do it for God and that the devil made him do it.
Oh, come on, man. Once again.
So God and the devil collapsed, like they both.
And they got together.
Right. For you.
How did he exactly sacrifice the dog?
In a smoker.
What's a smoker? Like
you smoke meat? Barbecue?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did he shoot it first or something? Or did he throw it in there live?
Let's see. He admitted at the time to putting the dog in the smoker. Detectives investigated further and learned that shortly after returning home, he got upset with a shirt that his 17-year-old daughter had. He said he believed the shirt had to do with the devil. That paperwork says Thompson made his daughter take the shirt and go with him to a large barbecue traveler that parked in a side yard. The smoker was lit, and police report that Thompson put the shirt in the trailer and burned it. Okay. Investigators spoke with Thompson's family, including his daughter and wife. Then when Thompson went back into the house, they say he got even more erratic and told his family in front of his 4 minor children that he needed to make a sacrifice of a male. Oh, thank God it wasn't one of the kids, right?
Oh, shit. Okay, keep going. I got to hear this.
So he stated that it had to be either himself, his firstborn 6-year-old son, or the family dog.
Who holy shit,
which is a small white poodle weighing about 15 pounds. That's
small white poodle.
Yep.
It's like crack.
Right? That's when family tried to escape the home, but Thompson was able to grab hold of the dog. Investigators say the family pleaded with Thompson not to hurt the dog, but the situation got more gruesome. Thompson admitted to breaking the dog's neck and strangling it.
Wow.
That's some Ramsay Bolton shit.
With his bare hands?
I guess so, yeah.
Wow.
He strangled it till it couldn't breathe anymore. Officers said when the sacrifice was not done, that he had to put the dog into a lake of fire. Court documents say he then told them that he put the dog in the heating element of the smoker. When officers inspected the smoker, it had an open flame that needed to be put out by firefighters. They found the dog dead inside the smoker. Thompson, who owns a traveling barbecue trailer called the Raging Cajun Smoking Barbecue. Yo, what have people been eating out of there? Oh man, because he wasn't following the FDA regulations
at all,
right? Devil told me put some rats in this one. According to his Facebook page, then he went to the front of his house and prayed and surrendered to God until the police arrived. He allegedly later told officers that he had smoked marijuana earlier in the day and began to have an episode.
No. We are not going to turn this into something on marijuana, damn it. This has nothing to do, unless you were smoking dust, you know, mixing your marijuana. Yeah, but somebody in the comments asked, and I got to know too, what did the damn shirt say?
They haven't even said in here the whole time. They didn't even say. Thompson said that he had a vision that something bad was going to happen to his family and that the Lord was going to kill him for what he had done. He stated his readings of the Bible required a male sacrifice in this situation and that it wasn't going to be him or his firstborn son. So the paperwork said he chose a family dog. His wife been married to him 21 years and they say she asked for Thompson to be charged.
Murdering a dog?
Yeah, I don't know. They say he's been held on $100,000 bond for the safety of the children in the home. I mean, well, yeah, he did threaten the kids, technically.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess that's something.
He obviously needs to be locked up, but I'm just wondering
what the charge was too.
Oh no, she was like, charge him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he initially just said that he was going to sacrifice a male. Then he mentioned killing himself or his son before electing to kill the family dog. So. I guess the race of Patrick Zane Thompson.
All right. Well, first I want to say on this one that I've smoked, you know, in numerous amounts of marijuana, and I've never had a desire. Actually, other than my roommate's dog, mm-hmm. I wanted to kill him, but that motherfucker won't shut up. But, you know, the devil and God never collaborated on a track to tell me to do it. So that alone is amazing. That's the part of the story that I love the most, is the fact that the devil and God, you know, got together to get him to do this.
Maybe it was just Kanye, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Kanye is pretty much the devil and God wrapped in the world. So I wouldn't disagree there. And I do know Black Zane. Obviously, you know, everyone knows the Black Zane. And I know Black Thompson, but there's millions of Black Thompsons thanks to slavery. And but Arizona is the clue that I'm going to go with here. That is my clue that leads me. And, you know, no disrespect to this woman because she's obviously not that type. But I'm going to go with, you know, blue eyes. Yeah,
going with Wonder Woman.
No disrespect to Wonder Woman.
Obviously not. She would never. The chat room says giving a new meaning to barbecued hot dogs. White.
Wow.
Ain't nothing in Arizona but meth heads and pink toes. White. Tenderly kissed the dog on the mouth.
Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Didn't season it before smoking it.
Yeah.
Oh, 18.
That was genius.
Hot. Woo. That was a good one. That was a good hot take.
Yeah.
On
a hot dog.
Yeah, on a hot dog.
Almost too hot.
Daughter's right. T-shirt and Black Lives Matter white. Manson family white. Base Motel white. Choose to smoke the dog instead of some spare ribs white. Three name Calky white, I think. Three names Trailer Park Trash white. Well, everybody guessed white, it seems. And everybody got it wrong. He's black.
Wow! I knew there'd be a twist.
Oh,
oh
Oh, he's shit. Really black.
Yeah.
Like the devil himself. Like, I don't think he need to make that long distance call. Like, that's a close relationship there.
That, you see, that's why she said lock him up.
I just wonder if he was like, it's me, God, kill that dog. And it's me, the devil, kill that dog.
The devil sounds like DMX to this dude, because he looks like DMX's cracked out uncle. So, you know, that was probably like, kill your dog! You know?
He did the
Shorty can't eat no books!
He did the DMX prayer shit. Don't like a shirt! Kill a nigga dog! Alright, last thing before we get out of here. Sword ratchetness.
Yeah.
Wow. Got to talk about these stories around here where people are using swords in crimes and things, and they're going to jail for them, man, or sometimes getting under penalized. So, and dead. All right, today's sword ratchetness: a jilted lover slashed the tires of a pregnant woman's car with a samurai sword when she refused to have a relationship with him. Now, I don't know why pregnant's in quotes in this article, but okay. Islam Hussein, 26, met Lisa Tavingwa online, and he begged her to move in with him to be the mother of his children after they met in person for the first and only time in August last year. That's bringing it on pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Harris, prosecuting, told Guilford County Crown Court that on Thursday, April 28th, how Hussein had repeatedly asked to see her and suggested they start a relationship following the meeting. But she didn't want that and was beginning to get scared by the way he was acting. The court heard how on the morning of November 12, 2015, Hussein went to Ms. Tavingwa's home in Cumberland Road, Ashford, and banged on her door, asking her to let him in. He had with him what appeared to be a knife, but it was in fact a samurai sword. He went to his car and slashed all four of her tires with the knife. The court was told how Hussein threw the sword over the garden fence when police arrived at the address and hid in a willy bin where he was later found by police. Mr. Harris said that one meet resulted in a child who is now a week old. I don't know what the relationship is in relation to the two of them with respect to the child, to that child. So wait, they met one time and he thinks she's pregnant with his kid?
What?
Did he, I guess he hit it wrong. He must got that super sperm. He just knew.
That's the one.
It was like Steph Curry shooting a shot. He was like, oh, I'm pregnant. I know it. I can feel it already. I don't even got to look. Hussein of Leebridge Road, London, pleaded guilty to one charge of criminal damage and possession of a bladed weapon. He was found not guilty on a threat to kill charge after prosecution offered no evidence. Hussein was remanded in custody until sentencing. Speaking last Friday, his barrister, Patrick Maggs, said Hussein thought Ms. Tavingwa was going to go to a clinic and he never contemplated causing harm to a child. In a letter, he said, I accept I lost my temper, though I acted in the interest of my unborn child. Yeah, and it looks like she may not have even been pregnant, so he just made all that shit up because he owns swords and he's crazy, guys. That's why we need sword registration, and you need to have a permit for these things for possession, and you need training and how to use them, because we don't want people just going around cutting up cars with swords because they got a little upset. All right, make sure you guys help out the kids. Speaking of the kids, okay, help out the unborn kids and the born kids by going to my man Ben Amin's Kickstarter and you know, supporting them, man. You got how many more days, Ben Amin?
We now have 12 more days left on the Kickstarter, so please check it out. The World Is Yours children's book on Kickstarter, or you can check me out on DJ Benjamin on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, all those good things. You can find out more information on any of those places, or like I said, you can just go to Kickstarter and search for The World Is Yours children's book.
All right. And
yeah, there's a link right there, and it's a beautiful thing, man.
We'll have it in the show notes for everybody, man. Really do appreciate you coming on, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back tomorrow at 7 with our man JL Covan on what I like to call trying to stay friends week on the Blackout Tips. We're going to try to keep everybody being friends here. So tomorrow will be JL, who is about to record his stand-up album. I believe it's his sixth, I believe. So, like, he really needs people to support him and come out, too. So, like, lend your support to DJ Ben Amin. JL, we'll be talking about what he's doing tomorrow. So, let's try to keep it positive here, man. Go listen to Fan Bros, dog. Get your life.
Yeah.
Especially if you listen to our nerd shit. If you listen to the Nerd Off, y'all will love Fan Bros, man. And they be getting, like, names and shit. You like, what? Who? What? When did they do this? They get, like, they had Ta-Nehisi Coates talking nerd shit, man.
Come on.
Yo, we had Word Life, and I was thinking about that the other day. I was going to tweet that. We had Ta-Nehisi Coates before he signed to do Black Panther. Like, that's facts, you know. That, like I say, those things are, you can't take that away. That's
Black podcast doing so many big things out here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Panther. And he's coming back as soon as the sixth issue drops. So,
dog, you know, we got us is what I'm saying.
We got us.
Yeah, we got us.
It's all love. Like that's the thing, man. I ain't got time for separating. You know, I'm about inclusion and about everyone getting in on this and enjoying themselves and living life, you know, that you dream of and, like, you know, realizing your dreams. And, you know, like, oh, I mean, before we go, I just want to say shout to Combat Jack, because he's the, you know, he's what he always told me, that he's like, Combat Jack Show isn't about rap and hip hop. Combat Jack Show is about showing people the keys to success.
Right.
And I feel the same way with Fan Bros Show. Like, we're about, you know, we're about comics, movies, TV, et cetera, tech, whatever. But we're about showing people that there's all these different paths to success, and you can get success, you know, in many different ways. And really, success is just living a life that you love. And so, you know, that's what I'm about.
Yo, I believe in us. And I believe, like DeRay always says, I know I'm gonna mess up his saying, but I want to say he said, love is the answer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Love is the why thing is what he says every day.
Mm-hmm.
Let love be the why, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to everybody, like, whatever you went through as a kid, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We trying to build so many people on resources. Mm-hmm. People email me every week. Hey, man, I want to start a podcast, and I email them back. Let's do that, man. Let's do that. If you have an issue with us, hit us up. Let me know.
Right.
We're out here trying to destroy nobody else. We're
not approachable.
Let's build, man. And like I said, I forgive Firestarter for the stuff they said about us, because real talk, they're my friends. And more importantly, I've made that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So let me be the person I wish was on the other side of my mistake. All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, love you.
Can I say one last thing?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, brother.
I got to say that same thing. Like, you know, me and Firestarter were going back and forth, but, you know, like, I feel the same way. Like, anybody who, you know, needs help or wants a suggestion, anything, you can hit me at DJ Ben. I mean, anytime, and I'm always down, because, you know, I just want to, man, it's like, you know, help. Like, show love. You know, I'm about showing love and, you know, getting love in return. That's just...
No doubt, man. So don't, you know, like I said, I can't wait to talk to them Wednesday, man. So many people trying to make us, like, have to pick a side. I cannot wait, because we're going to party. We're going to have so much fun talking about Game of Thrones, and so many people about to forget the whole bullshit. Watch
us make it happen. Tomorrow?
We're going to be on Wednesday. We're going to recap this shit. Okay. Watch everybody be laughing. Watch how y'all be laughing. Watch this black magic happen. We're going to make this shit happen. I guarantee it. Talk to y'all tomorrow. Till then, love you.
I love you, too.
Mwah. All right, chat room. Y'all have a good one.